for our customers. So Paul, if you'd like to say a few words.
I will. I'll go up there.
Okay.
I really appreciate this opportunity to let me speak to you and get the opportunity to recognize and congratulate John Benda for 30 years of service with the tollway. We know we have a lot of dedicated employees at the tollway and even any employees who have reached this milestone of 30 years. But it is difficult to find someone who has contributed to the tollway in the same way and in the unique manner in which John has. And I think one of the things I really find impressive about John is I started at the tollway as a project manager, so I know John as a project manager would, and I also know John now as the chief engineer, and he reports to me. He's been very consistent. He is always helpful. He always puts the tollway first. He's very thoughtful. He's very committed to what we do here. He's an outstanding leader and an innovator, someone not only understands the needs of our customers, but he also understands how to deliver the services that make travel on our system safe and efficient. And there's nothing more important to me than those two last items there. And it's very evident during winter operations, the tollway has a very strong reputation for that, and John and his staff are directly responsible for that. I did get to spend about 27 or 28 quality hours with John over that snowstorm we had 2 years ago. So I have witnessed his leadership firsthand. John joined the tollway in 1983 as a superintendent of maintenance, became a presence on our roadways and at our maintenance site. He manages the maintenance and traffic division, which has 550 employees, and it's spread out all over our system. Roadway maintenance, dispatch, fleet, the TIM Center, permits and utilities, ITS, and incident management. John, in 1988, which I guess was like the midpoint of your career, you were recognized by the American Public Works Association for a top 10 national achievement award. So he is recognized as an expert by his peers throughout the industry and the whole country. Over the past 30 years, John can be credited for leading the way in several areas, always putting the customer first. John helped create the Help Truck program. I think that is one of the showcases of what the tollway does and how we exemplify how important customer service is to us. He developed our signage program, including the installation of our over-the-road message signs, which we use to share travel information with our customers and roadway advisories. He also implemented the email notification program that we have to share incident reports with truckers and the traffic media to keep them, you know, on message and reporting accurately on the conditions of our system. He's enhanced our tollway operations, implemented a computer-enhanced snow operations center, established an integrated dispatch system for the tollway and state police. I think it's unique that we have that ability, and we really derive some fantastic benefits from being able to communicate with our maintenance people, our state police, our other emergency responders, including our own maintenance staff. All, you know, putting the customer first there. Developing our lane closure program to coordinate construction and maintenance. John's the guy we go to when we ask to close lanes, and he says, you know, you can't do it. It's going to have too big of an impact on the customer. I mean, he holds the line. He's also been critical in improving coordination and cooperation we have with others. The tollway, his work and his team's work in the incident management area is just nothing short of impressive and fantastic. He has created a formal process for agreements that we have with our local fire departments and protection districts. He also coordinates our towing program and our vehicle recovery for our large trucks on our system. So on behalf of the tollway and the 1.4 million drivers that we have on our system every day, I wanted to thank John Benda for his years of service, and I really appreciate your help. And John, I have a little frame here to commemorate this day, and hopefully we're going to put a picture in here. Well, thank you, John.
Thank you.
And John, would you like to formally commit to another 30 years?
At least you're not presenting me with a cane. Thank you very much. I'm a man of few words, so I won't say anything. I'll just sit down. But thank you. It's been an interesting ride, and I hope we'll continue in the future. So thanks.
Good. Well, thank you for your service. And I won't make any snide comments about the few words. So, you might recall, just one more update for me, you might recall that in late 2011, the tollway decided that we would no longer allow employees to use non-revenue transponders for commuting purposes beginning in January of 2012. At that time, we felt that it was the right thing to do given the major toll increase that was going into effect and that went into effect for our customers. Shortly after that, several of the unions representing tollway employees filed unfair and unfair labor practice charges, or unfair labor practice charges, with the Illinois Labor Relations Board, challenging our decision to move forward with that. And earlier this week, we learned that the board has ruled and made its decision. They've ruled that the tollway would have to bargain to eliminate the use of employee non-revenue transponders for commuting to and from work as part of the union contract negotiation process. The use of non-revenue transponders is perceived as a benefit to our employees, and we respect the unions that represent our employees, and we respect the Labor Relations Board. I know that this is a difficult decision. I know that we all do, and the board recognizes that it is. It's not just a difficult decision for us, but for many of the other tolling agencies around the country who have struggled with similar decisions. The Pennsylvania Turnpike, the New Jersey Turnpike, the Delaware River Joint Toll Bridge Authority all have battled, or I shouldn't say battled, but have struggled with the same issue of this benefit for their employees. So I don't believe that our position has changed, however, in that we believe that providing non-revenue transponders for employees for commuting purposes is just inconsistent with our goal to increase transparency and accountability in our agency and be completely responsible with our finances and resources that we have here. So as a result, we may address this issue during upcoming work that we have with our unions. We obviously won't be making any additional moves to take or change non-revenue transponders at this time. We'll have to go into some type of negotiation with the labor unions that represent our employees in order to take any further action. But our ultimate goal will be to reach an agreement with our unions, to provide the most equitable contract for both our employees and our toll payers. And certainly this will be an item that will be under consideration in that. So I just wanted to update you since that has actually been some time that we've been waiting for that ruling, but we did get that this week. So.
And it may be important just to underscore that at the time that the complaint was filed, we allowed people to continue to use the transponders. So this isn't a financial issue for us. It's not that we have to now reimburse people. They have been using them pending the outcome of this decision, and we'll be going forward until we get into negotiation. So you just saw the quarterly report. It doesn't change because of this decision. Okay, any questions on that? We'll talk about it further in executive session. Okay, anything else from you? Okay, we'll move to the consent agenda.
Sure.
Yes.
On the consent agenda, item number two,
yes.
We need to discuss that separately.
Right, we'll take that.
We
have three that I think we're going to stop the consent agenda and talk about in detail. The first one is not one of those, unless somebody wants to. That's the approval of the 2012 retiree health insurance payment for CMS. May I?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any objections? Any abstentions? And I see no refusals. Now let's take up number two, which is the resolution authorizing the issuance of up to $1 billion.
Okay. Thank you. Item two is a resolution that authorizes the issuance of as much as $1 billion of refunding bonds to refund 2005 Series A and 2006 Series A bonds. The resolution also assigns a group of firms to act as underwriters on the proposed refunding bonds, 2013 Series A. It also assigns a senior managing underwriter to the next available new money transaction who will be assisting the tollway also in the federal TIFIA loan application process. As a reminder, in August of last year, the board approved a pool of 14 senior managing underwriters, 18 co-managing underwriters pursuant to an RFP. Currently, all of the firms, excluding one, have completed or are nearing completion of all the necessary financial and conflict of interest disclosure review process. From this pool of underwriters, we anticipated assigning all firms to serve on underwriters on tollway transactions and expected to utilize all of the members of a pool before utilizing a firm a second time. With these assignments recommended today, all the firms that either have completed the process or are near completing the disclosure review process will have received an assignment. So essentially this completes the first round without having used a firm twice. The 2013A refunding bonds would be expected to be issued as long as market conditions warrant within during the second quarter or the third quarter of 2013. And assignments for this transaction would include the following. For senior managing underwriter Goldman Sachs and Jefferies. For co-senior managing underwriters Merrill Lynch and Siebert Branford. And the co-managers Duncan Williams, Fidelity Capital, George K. Baum, Janie Montgomery, Robert W. Baird, and Williams Capital. Six co-manager firms. And finally, to help us with the TIFIA application process, and also to serve as a senior managing underwriter then on the next new money transaction, which is likely a late 2013 or early 2014, which is good because the application process is a long process. Morgan Stanley received that assignment through this resolution.
But it's our intention that we'll come back to the board to fill out the remainder of that team.
But Morgan Stanley will start now looking at the TIFIA.
That's right, right. As we get closer to the actual issuance.
And is the document that's on the screen correct? I know there had been a revised resolution.
Yes. Yeah, there was one correction. I think you have the resolution in front of you. There was one correction because there was a firm listed that had already received an assignment that was inadvertently listed in the resolution.
Okay. So the one that we have in hard copy is the correct one.
And the names that Mike read out are the correct. Okay. Are the correct firms.
Good. Are there questions on this?
We will meet or exceed the 20% compensation on the underwriting for the WBE.
We should. I think there are two of the six are co-managers are MBE firms, WBE, and one of the four senior managers.
Okay. Fees themselves not to exceed a certain amount, not to exceed $2.5 million?
Fees are not to exceed $2.50 per $1,000.
Okay. Yes. Which comes up to roughly about $2 million. $2.5 million roughly, maybe?
For if we did all billion.
If you did a billion, right, on $1 billion. Okay.
And we consider those fees to be good, in line with past practices are better?
Those are lower than the prior program and consistent with our previous Move Illinois bond issues that we've authorized.
Other questions? No? Okay. And then may I hear a motion on number two here, please?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstention? Okay, let's move to procurement. I think we can do all three of these together, right?
Yes.
Okay. I hear a motion.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions on those? Okay, engineering. I think we can take 1 through 8. Is that correct? I see no recusals between 1 and 8, and number 9 is the one that Mr. Sherman wished us to take up separately, so we'll do 1 through 8. Again, these have been reviewed in detail at the committee level.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions on these? No recusals. Okay, let's take up number 9. How do you want to do this? Do you want to explain and then
we can explain. Why don't, Paul, would you mind explaining exactly what the purpose of this is? And then I'd like to say a few words relative to some of Mr. Sherman's comments. Maybe Rocco, too.
So this item 9 is a professional service contract. It's for planning studies.
Okay.
Planning studies and master planning engineering services for a proposed Illinois Route 53-120 extension project. These studies are going to use the June 7, 2012 Blue Ribbon Advisory Council resolution and summary report as a starting point. Some of the services that we're looking to obtain in this contract are, they're going to initiate our corridor plan, do local community and stakeholder coordination, traffic and tolling analysis, determine how to finance this project, evaluate and further develop the design guidelines and the performance criteria, develop pre-concept feasibility studies, help us secure some of the local, state, and federal authorizations that will be required for this, and provide project management and administration. So basically, this study is being undertaken to fully understand the transportation impacts of the project, evaluate traffic and revenue, and develop the detailed estimate of the capital and operating costs of this facility. The project's going to be coordinated with the county's land use plan, and it is going to include local community and stakeholder coordination. Award is recommended to Trans Systems Corporation. The amount of the contract is $4 million. They've committed to exceeding our DBE requirement on this contract, and they are going to utilize two new WDE firms as sub-consultants for the first time.
This is an 18-month contract?
I think the term is 18 months.
Okay. I think the term is long. I think we expect it to take 18 months, but the term is longer.
Yes. Okay.
We expect
substantial completion will be done in the first 2 years.
So as Paul mentioned in his remarks, I just want to underscore, you know, this contract is really the result of, in part, the work done by the Advisory Council, and one of the recommendations was, you know, to continue and do, frankly, more formal and technical reviews of the project, which we're doing. Those who were at the Strategic Planning Committee meeting back in, last year, August, when we presented the findings of the Advisory Council. At that time, the Strategic Planning Committee recommended that we move forward and issue a contract to do exactly this work. So this is the outcome of that recommendation, and we believe that it is, you know, important in order to gain. There are many recommendations that came out of the Advisory Council process. It was a long process, and I think a very collaborative and open process. A lot of interesting ideas and design concepts were advanced, and this is really the next stage of the evaluation necessary in order to really get a handle on, you know, what is reasonable and what is responsible, given the desire of the local communities and others to see this project advance, and of course the things that are important to the tollway about, you know, maintenance and operation and long-term responsibility for a roadway of this nature. So
and cost,
which is which is very important to us as well. You know, we know from other examples that, you know, it's definitely something that, you know, cost and how to pay for something, you know, go hand in hand. So that's a great deal of the work that will be done here, as well as analysis and work with the community and potential customer base there to really ascertain, you know, what the usage patterns are going to be and what drivers will be willing to pay for to use. So I don't know, Rocco, if you have anything else that you wanted to add.
These two men, a few words sitting together.
Yes.
So are there questions from any of the board members?
I just wanted to amplify a little bit. I think it was a very open, inclusive process with the advisory group, and they came up with concepts that they think fit their needs there, Some of those are somewhat unique, and there's a lot of things in the industry where you have a, you know, you have a ready estimate there, so much a mile or so much a linear foot, whatever the case may be. Some of the aspects in this concept are not that easily measurable. I think part of what we're trying to do is get a tighter number on what some of these things would require financially, so we can see how feasible they are, and I think that's important.
Yes, we have a question, Mr. Sherman.
Thank you, Chair Wolf. Just one question, and the premise of the question is that I trust you, I trust your judgment. So with that as the premise, the question is, what is the extent, what is the scope of within this contract for asking the people who will actually be using the roadway what they want out of the system, out of the roadway, such as speed limit, and also what is the scope of asking the people who would be paying for it? There's a proposal for the people of Northwest Cook County to pay $100 million a year in tolls on the Cook County portion of Route 53, and there's also this value capture stuff. To what extent are you going to be asking the businesses in Northwest Cook County who are in that zone what they think of the idea of paying an additional 6% in property taxes or whatever the figure is, because they're struggling already to sell their properties that they want to sell because property taxes are so high. Now they want to raise property taxes 6%. So the question is, to what extent are you going to be asking the people who would be paying the bills, and to what extent are you going to be asking the people who would be using the highway what it is that they want and what they're willing to pay for? Thank you.
Well, as you heard, it's certainly part of this contract to do some surveying of potential customers relative to what they are willing to pay for, you know, and that was the subject of quite a bit of discussion at the committee meeting last week. In addition, another recommendation of the advisory council, which I think we need to and are working to advance, is to create a finance committee to focus on financing and take up some of those, you know, beyond just tolling the roadway itself, some of these other concepts that were raised to finance the roadway and potentially new things that we didn't contemplate under the advisory council process. So we would see that as another committee working group process, potentially with some overlapping membership, potentially with some new members to represent, you know, the expertise that's going to be needed to resolve those types of questions. So, you know, I think that those are all, you know, very important questions. And as we all know, what's included in a plan or a proposed roadway, but also how to pay for it, are the two big things that they're often the struggle, and often it's how to pay for it that is the bigger struggle. So I think we do have some work ahead of us, but this does represent, I think, significant progress forward on a project that has been languishing for generations.
I think it's important to frame it that way. Our responsibility, or I think our responsibility as members of this board, is to really balance what we are hearing is the demand for some kind of improved transportation in this area, on the one hand, with the vision of the Blue Ribbon Committee, which is, I think, acknowledged by everybody to be a really dramatic departure from the typical way these roads are designed, and maybe a national model of a different way of doing that. On the one hand, with the question of who is going to ride on this road and how are we going to pay for it and how much is it going to cost. And none of us, I think, is going to want to vote to support something that is not going to be a viable project. So the only way we're going to know if it's going to be viable is to be able to understand who's going to use the road and under what circumstances, because we are a driver-paying entity. We're driven by who rides the road. So that's the balance that we're going to have to strike. So I think our interests and yours are completely in sync, as are our interests with the rest of the people in Lake County who feel strongly they want to improve the congestion problems up there. So we have to get the right information to be able to make a thoughtful decision. And we know we've got a capacity here within this contract to do that. Is there any other...
Director, as I said, Director Eisner said it, it's a very very diverse group of people, and we need to continue to practice inclusion and keep this the committee involved and engaged in the process as we go forward. We need transparency with the process as it goes forward, too. and so people feel that they have input, continue to have input in, into this very important transportation project up through Lake County, which has been well thought of, well thought through by the committee, which included environmentalists and public public officials, business community, and engineers and planners. So it was a very diverse group that was very thoughtful, and I'm very, very interested to see how this process goes forward with Trans Systems coming on board to continue to provide planning studies and related reports that we continue to keep all parties involved as we go forward.
Good point. Anything else anyone wants to say? And we thank Mr. Bueller for coming and speaking on behalf of this and the county's part. Okay, may I hear a motion for this then?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any wish to recuse him or herself? No? Okay, then let's move to number 10, which we'll take separately because 11 needs to be independently reviewed as well. So may I have a motion on 10?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any recusals or abstentions? Okay, let's take 11, the sole source.
So item 11 is an amendment in the amount of $4 million, which we're seeking, to an existing contract. It's contract 5580, and that's for maintenance and management of our fiber optic system. The provider of these services is G4S Technology. It's estimated that this additional funding is going to carry them or sustain these critical services, hopefully through March 2014. The tollway is currently in the process of finalizing a new request for a proposal for these services. The additional funding represented by the amendment is going to allow for us to advertise for these services under the new RFP, evaluate and approve the new contract, and transition these services to the next successful vendor. The five critical fiber optic services provided under the existing contract include routine preventative maintenance, emergency repairs, non-emergency repairs, professional services, and marketing efforts. The tollway actually sells off some of its spare fiber. The fiber optic system exists throughout our entire tollway system. It's utilized to transfer data associated with toll collection, violation photos, dynamic message signs, and roadway cameras. This existing contract is a task order type contract. Actually, it was advertised through an RFP when we selected this vendor, and part of that RFP included qualifications, and also they bid some unit price bids on these specific contract services that they're providing. Subsequently, the tollway has approved, since 2009, the tollway approved the Move Illinois capital program, and that has increased the number of utility locates that they've had to perform for us, the number of fiber optic conflict IDs they've had to do, watch and protect services, and fiber optic relocation work that's being driven solely by the increased construction projects in the initial years of Move Illinois. So as the I-90 design work began in the spring of 2012, it became apparent that the designs were demonstrating that, you know, we were going to have to do even more fiber optic relocation work. So at that time, engineering did begin developing this new RFP, and we did attempt to try to separate out some of the construction work so that we could get this contract to last us a little bit longer. So we're in the process of finalizing both of those actions. But we do need this interim amendment in order to continue. I do want to note that the contract was entered into in 2009. CMS assigned a business enterprise program goal of 30% for it. So this didn't have a DBE goal, it had a BEP goal. At the onset of the contract, the exact magnitude and types of tasks to be performed was not known. This is a task order contract. So basically what we had done was we established, you know, a budget for doing this work, it gave us the flexibility to assign tasks in each of those five areas, but we didn't have a solid prediction of exactly how much work would roll out in each of those categories. So therefore, the full magnitude of exactly how much work could be done by, they brought on two BEP subcontractors as part of their original contract. Early in the contract, we did know that G4S was going to fall short of their BEP goal, and we did meet with them and had several meetings to try to figure out, you know, how they could boost the BEP opportunities within this contract and try to meet this goal. So subsequent to the original contract, they did add three more additional BEP subcontractors. So they have been cooperating and working with us. They have been able to build up their BEP participation to 17.5% to date. It may be slightly higher, but we haven't done the full evaluation of the dollars yet on these BEP subcontractors and the subcontractors themselves. It's too early for us. Both diversity and engineering do not want to guide you on whether or not a waiver will be granted or not, but we do recognize that we need to meet and discuss this and the additional work to be performed to see if it's actually even possible for them to satisfy the full 30%, or if we should be looking at a different number. We utilized a fiber optic system to provide a critical function to us. We use it to transfer all of our data around, but we also have been leasing the excess capacity to third-party users, and they manage that effort for us. The leasing of the excess capacity allows the tollway to offset costs associated with some of the work that they're doing, and in fact, since we started this contract, we've collected $7.2 million in revenue off of these additional fiber optic leases. So this contract is almost paying for itself. The contract provides the tollway with a critical service, and we're asking for your approval to of this amendment to allow these services to continue so that we can advertise and go through the new RFP process and continue these services while we're doing that.
And this amount has been adjusted down, although we didn't present it at the committee. The documentation and materials that people would have seen, this is a lesser amount than we maybe thought originally. We think we can get by and get through the RFP process with a lesser amount, correct?
That's what we've adjusted. So, you know, even though I might, wish I could not, go through this transition process at a very critical time in the construction program, we are willing to push everything as hard as we can to get this transition accomplished as quickly as possible, or at least put it back out for bid so people have an opportunity to participate in it if they want to. And that's why it's
Chair Peterson, do you have any comment?
No, I'd like that the project pays for itself. Since 2009, it's generated $7.2 million in revenue from leasing because of the excess capacity we have through the fiber. So it sounds like the third parties are managing that. We don't have to we don't have to watch that or monitor that because they're managing that system too, so there's not an extra cost to that. So I'm pleased with this agreement that we have for
and that structure. The way this contract is structured was done in a very thorough manner and coordinated with both legal and finance and audit and engineering and diversity. So when we put it on in 2009, there was a big effort put in to structure this contract thoughtfully to address those five service items, including this management of the third-party users.
Any questions from any other directors? Okay, then your motion on this one?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? I think we have to take 12 separately. Director Towns is recused on that one. May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any abstentions? We note Director Towns' recusal. I think we can take 13 and 14 together. May I have a motion?
Motion approved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions on that? 15, there's we're going to defer to executive session. And 16, we can take.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions on that one? And then on legal, I believe we can take 1 through 6, and the 7th is deferred to executive session, unless, David, you want to comment on any of these?
Just 7 through 11 in exec, and then we'll come back down.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Okay, and we have to take up 12 separately.
12.
Okay, so let's do 1 through 6. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Good. Any abstentions?
I'll make the motion.
I'm sorry.
Second.
Okay. Good. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Thank you. We'll take 8 through 11 in executive session. Do we want to talk about 12 now?
Yes, we'd like to present 12 now. As you may be aware from previous conversations and presentations we've had, Item 12 is related to a comprehensive disparity and availability study that we'll be performing relative to our diversity program. As you know, it's a best practice to, from time to time, refresh this analysis. David Goldberg, I don't know if you have anything else to add to this, but we didn't have this ready for the committee agenda because the selection was still going on, but we did manage to get this done for the board, so if you'd like to present the item.
Oh, sure. Just to the extent people, this is a item that covers many jurisdictions within the tollway. Certainly my colleague in diversity, handing down to engineering, handing it down my way. I don't have anybody further to hand it down to, so I'll be glad to present it. And it's a very important procurement for the tollway. Christy hit the nail on the head by describing it as a best practice. We work hard to make our diversity program full of best practices. One of the things you need to do is study the disparity in your markets. We've conducted what I would call a very robust review in this procurement. I was pleased to see four firms submitting nationwide. Four firms were seriously considered, not only on their papers, on their technical scoring, but the selection committee brought each in for lengthy interviews to understand some of the specialties they brought to the table. I will tell you that three of the four firms exceeded the technical thresholds that were established. Of those three firms, the firm that is being presented for approval today had the lowest bid amount in the total amount of $314,801.64. It is by the firm of Colette Holt and Associates. The principal of that firm, Ms. Holt, is certainly known around the tollway. She is a figure of national prominence in the area of disparity generally and in conducting these types of studies. So I know the team looks forward to working with her. She had a goal within this, we had a goal within this contract, I believe it was 25% DD participation. She will be well exceeding that to the tune of 57%. I'm happy to take any questions. I know we have others who were familiar, including my colleague Sharon Ferguson from procurement, who has made sure we ran this through very properly. And we can either leave it at that or have any further discussions, Chair.
Any comments on this? Fiscal 13 amount is $250,000, and the remainder would be in the out years. Is that the way this is anticipated?
That is correct. I don't have the number in front of me, but your rough math there is that's right. The thinking is that it will proceed for about an entire year of service. And of course, now that we're a bit into 2013, we expect to have some remainder into 14. The term of the contract is actually 2 years. I don't think it's easy to put an exact end date on a study like this, so we built in some cushion on timing, but not on dollars. So you will conduct this work pursuant to that 314 figure I identified. Obviously, we will come back to the board if there's ever a need for anything in excess of that, but we don't anticipate that.
Okay. Any other questions on this one? May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Anybody abstaining? Okay. Thank you. Now, is there any new business, old business that anybody would like to bring up? No? Okay. I think we need a motion to go into executive session.
So moved.
Second. No, we need the magic words from the tablets.
Staff would recommend a motion pursuant to certain exceptions in the Open Meetings Act, specifically sections 2C2, 2C11, and 2C5, to discuss litigation involving tollway collective bargaining matters and the acquisition of real property from the tollway.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? What do you think, 10 minutes?
Yes.
15 minutes. And we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 motions that we want, 6, I'm sorry, that we want to be able to take up. The first is item 15 under engineering, which is the adding the parcels to the DiBenedetto. We've had the full discussion of that in executive session. Is there anything that anybody would like to add? Okay, may I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
I'm recusing myself on the matter.
Director Reddick is recusing himself from this. And then under legal, we have items 7 through 11, which are workers' compensation matters.
Move to approve.
Pardon?
Move to approve.
Okay.
Chair, we just need to go one by one.
Okay.
I'll say the name, I'll say the amount, and then you'll give us authority to go settle that because we haven't said the amount on the record yet.
Okay, good. Let's do
so
that.
In the workers' comp matter involving Alice Smith, settlement authority up to the amount of $74,954.16.
Move to approve.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions or recusals? Okay.
In the matter of Richard Faltstein, settlement authority up to the amount of $87,969.04.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions or recusals? Okay.
In the matter of Richard Knightgo, settlement authority up to the amount of $53,934.54.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions or recusals? Nope. Okay, that passes.
In the matter of Nicholas Pappas, settlement authority up to the amount of $117,187 even.
No 4 cents? Okay. Motion? Second.
Sir.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Recusal or abstentions? Okay.
And in the amount of Thomas Drennan, settlement authority up to the amount, $175,000.
Move to approve.
Second.
Is that different from what appeared in the document? Or maybe it's just the lawyer's recommendation that appears in the document as opposed to the amount that you were asking for settlement?
No, it's a different amount.
I am working off of the council's communication to me, and I think you're catching, is there a typo in the summary? You see the 150, is that the number
yes.
you're pointing to correctly?
Right. So that should
that,
read
that,
one,
that should read
175.
Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Okay, motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions or recusals? No? Okay, thank you all very much. Now we need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. I'm sorry we ran through lunch hour. Back to the good old days. We started at 10. Thank you very much.
Thank you.